to 1GMT. Now let's get to Mor Asir of Angel Investors, or iAngel to be precise, a Tel Aviv-based startup helper with me in the Business Matters studio, sitting patiently listening to the rest of the programme. Welcome also to Ralph Silver, who's with us from Toronto and would be chipping into our discussion. So let's get into the startup nation that is Israel. With my kids, I've got used to seeing a lot of Israeli names when you see software developers coming up on programs, on games and so on. What's the direction, what's the drive of building now in the tech world, in startups?
I think, well, it's true. I mean, Israel has established itself as a startup nation. I think now it's really come to a point where Israelis and entrepreneurs are looking to build bigger companies and looking to build, you know, companies to last and to not just be an exit nation, like Israelis are kind of have this reputation of being quick to exit.
What you mean, build something good and move on and move out.
Exactly. So that was traditionally, you know, there are many, many exits to come out of Israel. I mean, just in the last 3 years, they've been incredibly successful, over 100 exits per year out of an industry of about 3,000 startups. So it's a very relatively small ecosystem, all in all. Mm. So now we have, you know, second and third time entrepreneurs throwing themselves right back into, you know, the ecosystem and creating bigger and better companies and looking for that, you know, $1 billion IPO or like looking to for some major acquisitions.
So that's recycling the success back into Israel.
Exactly, exactly. So I think there's like a sense of, I mean, first of all, almost a sense of camaraderie, something that also comes from the military and people want to help young entrepreneurs. And we have entrepreneurs who have gone on to build, you know, their second or third companies, and we see them also participate into the ecosystem as angel investors in their own right.
Okay, right. Two things. Military, we'll come back to in a second. Angel investors, let's do that right now. What is an angel investor?
Okay, so an angel investor is really a private individual, private investor, who invests in the very early stages of companies, sort of brings from their own pocket, provides that kiss of life to the company, and they have a reputation. I mean, the fact that they're angel investors, it's more than a financial investor. It really means that they have a lot of added value to bring to the company, whether it be industry expertise, experience in global markets, connections and a network that they bring to the table.
Okay,
and they have a critical role in their early stage.
Is it a crass analogy to say this is the Shark Tank thing, the Dragon's Den thing? Those are the people who have the money, but they have the know-how too, and they help out.
Exactly. So they have the money and they have the know-how, and they play a critical key role in the early stage.
What kind of money companies did they put up in
so
general?
It varies. I think, I mean, all over the world, angel investors, private individuals can put anywhere from, you know, $100,000 to $500,000 or $1 million. In Israel, the amounts are slightly lower than what we see in other places in the world, and just because it's a different economy, different.
But you've got to screen your donors, presumably. I mean, do you have a criteria by which somebody can be accepted in that way?
Of course. So at iAngels, what we do is we have a very unique model, something that I think differentiates us from other investing platforms all around the world. So we collaborate with angel investors, and we invest together with them into the startup companies, and we enjoy kind of like, you know, their added value and their ability to negotiate very good terms. They're very sensitive to terms, obviously, being, you know, private individuals. And together with them, we invest in the companies. We do our own due diligence, so we have our own say of whether or not we want to participate in the deal, and it's quite a rigorous process. So it's quite robust, due diligence and vetting. And what we see is through that collaboration, we're able to first and foremost, you know, enjoy kind of the visibility and the hands-on experience and the very unique positioning of the angel investors, and then open up, you know, these startup companies to a global community of investors who then participate, become their advocates, and become part of, you know, the iAngels network, and help these companies
Okay.
Grow bigger.
We're going to hear from one of your clients in just a moment. Let's go to Ralph, who's been listening. And Ralph, I wonder, firstly, what you made of what you've heard from Moore so far, but also maybe how that relates to other models of investment of this kind.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. I think I represent the old model. Right out of university, they sent me to San Francisco and they gave me $400 million and said, go find startups and go fund some startups. And the only rule I had is one out of every 10 had to make money. And I am convinced, I am absolutely, totally convinced, and I work for a very large financial services organization. I'm convinced that the processes that I had to put onto the startups killed 9 out of 10 companies. We had such strict processes that every company had to adopt if they wanted the money. And when they're coming and asking for the money, you have a tremendous amount of power. And I use that to mold the companies. I had people fired. I had people moved. I had products changed because my management said, we're only going to fund you if you did this. And I honestly and genuinely believe that that whole period of time in 1997, when we were doing this, we killed more companies than we actually helped succeed. And that's why I think organizations like iAngels is exactly what the world needs for the small to medium-sized companies. Well, yes, the old model still works for the big companies, but for the small companies, it's the iAngel model that's the future.
So what do you make of that more in terms of kindness that kills effectively, or maybe too much control, demanding too much control on the part of the funder?
So I see something. It's actually funny that he says that. I think in the early stage companies, when angels come to the table and play this critical role, they invest in a team. They invest in a strong team that has everything that it takes in order to make the company happen or get the product out or deliver and execute. And they work together with them. Many of the angel investors literally have a day job at the company and work with them on a weekly basis to get them to the next level. As they get to the next level and seek venture capital funding, I think it's a different ball game. It's a different ball game, and the venture capitalists today, they require significant traction. They want to see the companies the products achieve a certain traction before they're able to invest, and that whole dynamic of whether or not they're going to invest now and what they want to require and what kind of management teams they want in place, etc. It creates a whole different dynamic when seeking venture capital funding, especially outside of Israel.
Okay, hold that thought. It is exactly 12:45 GMT. We're going to get the headlines in the right time, and Jonathan is right here.
There have been small falls in share prices in Japan and Australia as financial markets opened following Monday's sharp drops across the world's major markets. Monday's falls were prompted by continuing fears over an economic slowdown in China. North and South Korea say they've reached a deal after talks designed to reduce tension at their border. Both countries put their military forces on alert after a brief exchange of fire last week. The British government is preparing to introduce 6-month prison sentences for migrants who work illegally in England and Wales. And a new forecast says the number of people suffering from dementia in the world will triple to more than 130 million by 2050. And briefly back to our top story, those financial markets for you. $1 currently worth 118.8 Japanese yen, and the Nikkei is down more than 4% at 17,778.
Jonathan, many thanks. Now, let's take one of iAngel's clients. We caught up with Mushik Raka, who runs a website called silo.co, that is, and he's in San Diego, California.
Silo is a new professional network. It's a network where you can reach out to the people that you know and ask them for whatever you need, whether it's a job opportunity, whether you're looking to hire or just need advice. You can reach out to people you know, and they can reply to you privately.
How important is it, Mushik, to get that seed funding to get you off the ground?
Seed funding is always very important, and it's always very critical because seed funding is when you don't have all the results yet. You don't have 10,000 or 10 million or maybe 100 million users. So you actually need people to trust you and will help you get off the ground. And iAngels was exactly that. Them and, of course, the angel investors that invest through them.
It's always a leap of faith, I guess. On the part of anybody investing in a company like that, what do you have to do by way of your pitch to convince them to put in the $5,000, the $20,000, maybe more?
Oh, yes. You have to tell the story as it is. You have to explain the potential. You have to show the numbers. You have to show the traction. One of the interesting things about iAngel specifically is that unlike most angel investors, they perform quite a bit of due diligence. They actually verified our numbers. They sat with us. They looked at the business model. They looked at how the platform works. They even used it themselves before they talked to their investors and showed them the opportunity to invest.
So how's it going?
It's going very well, and we're very happy with their investment as well, because it's not just one investor. In fact, we got almost 24 investors at once that are helping us, which is fantastic for us.
And our thanks to Moshe Graka, who had to pull over in San Diego to take our call. He's with Silo.co. I'm going to ask more to hold just a second, because obviously this is all very close to home to you. But Ralph, let me get your reaction, because he used two crucial words, I think, in any startup: the numbers and the traction.
That's right. And I think that's what everyone needs to look at if they're going to invest in an organization. And of course, the people matter. But letting the people be themselves, I think, is incredibly important. And I think iAngel and organizations such as iAngel actually are investing in the people themselves, not so much the products, where the old model is you invest in the products and hope the people can make that happen. I think that's turned. So I hope and wish them the very best of success.
So, more there, we had Moshik with a success story, and they seem to be going from strength to strength. Compared to the maybe, well, I'm not sure what the highest percentage was in the old model of failure, but how many failures do you score? Because every time I talk to somebody about entrepreneurship, they say, we learn from our failures. Do you have those to acknowledge, or has it all been 100% strike rate so far?
Well, it hasn't been 100%. I mean, listen, iAngels is still a very young company. We only launched our online platform in January of last year. And to date, we've done over 20 investments into startup companies. Our average ticket today is around the $500,000. And we have investors from all over the world, you know, investing with us. So we have investors in Hong Kong. We have very serious investors from Australia, from the US, Canada, South Africa, Europe, Israel, of course. So it's really quite diverse. And it's, I mean, to date, it's early still to say to talk about losses, but I can tell you this, and this is just the way that it usually goes, and I'm sure Ralph can agree with me. We're probably gonna see losses before we see success stories, because it takes a longer period of time to build a success story. Mm. It takes a longer period of time to build a big company that that is gonna exit, and it's easier,
Ralph,
quote unquote, to fail.
Absolutely, you fail fast and you succeed slow. It's just the general rule of investing.
Women in this sector, in Israel and elsewhere, what have you noticed more?
We've noticed there aren't many women in the sector. So I'll divide it into two. First, women in the tech world, or how many women entrepreneurs do we see? And obviously, there are less female entrepreneurs. And just, I think we've been asked this a lot because we're two female founders at iAngels, myself and Shelley. And we've been asked this a lot: how come there are not more women entrepreneurs? And I think it is a choice that, you know, it is very risky to leave, you know, your old job that has been very secure. If it's Shelley at Goldman Sachs, if for me, myself at companies like IBM, SAP, or Amdocs, I mean, it's difficult to leave that comfort zone and take that leap of faith and go through entrepreneurship. And I think, if anything, in Israel, we're even more encouraged to do so through different, you know, programs, whether it be in the military or at school, government-supported programs and accelerators. And we are actually one of the investors who have more, you know, female-driven companies in our portfolio than most investors in the landscape. I think to date we have about 5 companies that are female-led, and we're just about to invest in 2 more. So we'll have 7 in our portfolio out of a little over 20 companies. So that's very significant. Way above the average. And we've spoken about this with several investors in that we collaborate with. This is incredibly above average. And I think the second part is about female entrepreneurs in venture or in the investment landscape, which is also something that is fairly scarce, I think, in Israel and other places in the world as well.
Let me just pick up a word you've now used at least twice, and we've got to finish with this. The big difference with Israel and many other countries is national service.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about the military. On first sight, you'd think military, that's a timeout. Those are wasted years. Those are years where you go off and you do something, you know, if it moves, salute it. If it doesn't, paint it. But you're suggesting that actually these are useful years. These are networking years.
Yes. So I view the military service as hands-on work experience, like world-class education that you can't get anywhere else.
So what did you do in your
mission? I was in the 8200 intelligence unit. I was an intelligence analyst working on technologies. So I had a hands-on experience in the military, and I had a course, a technological course that prepared me to that role as well. And for these kinds of positions, you really screened while still in high school. So I took physics and computer science and advanced math and et cetera when I was still in high school. And I had my high school teachers interviewed for my position, for me to be, you know, recruited to my position. So it's a very rigorous process. And I think that the people who join these top units really enjoy being the kind of exposure and the kind of education that you can get anywhere else.
And everyone talks about the camaraderie, but how does it compare as a useful period for you to your MBA, say?
Well, I think, well, first and foremost, it is the working experience. So when I look at my career, like my career and my technology days, these 2 years obviously feed right into that work experience. And if we discussed earlier this program about, you know, technology like, you know, cybersecurity, things that we see at iAngels and in the field of cybersecurity can prevent things like we saw and hacks and dark web, et cetera. So, I mean, for me coming to Columbia University to go to MBA, classes like in innovation, mm-hmm. in strategy, in different things like in leadership, are very, you know, the kind of experience that we have in the military feeds right into that naturally.
Thank you very much for coming in. It's been a great pleasure. We're going to end this hour with just one.